welcome! Okay. Sorry, I was doing that in my best Vulton.
Yes.
I don't want to burst people's eardrums if they're listening. It's kind of like booming it out. Welcome to Space Soldiers!
You
know.
You can do that in a moment. Do it in a minute, it'll be funny.
Deciding that a podcast looking into the science fiction serials that featured in cinemas in the 1930s and beyond was long overdue, Andy and Martin set about rectifying this omission. Starting with the 1936 13-part serial entitled Flash Gordon, made by Universal Pictures and based upon the cartoon strip of the same name created by Alex Raymond, they have decided to create a running commentary upon every single chapter, episode by episode, until the entire story is covered. After this, they plan upon moving onto its sequels, Flash Gordon's Trip to Mars and Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe, before turning their attention to other serials made in the same era. Hello and welcome to Space Soldiers, a commentary podcast with Andy Priestner and Martin Holmes. Flash Gordon, Chapter 8, Tournament of Death.
Hello there, it's Saturday and that can mean only one thing. It's time for Space Soldiers!
Space Soldiers!
Thank you, Kim Vulton.
Wow,
well,
we hope he's alive,
today.
Actually, yeah. Where we left him last week.
We don't know, because that spade went into that furnace at quite a explosive finale.
The massive exploding spade, which I find kind of weird. I suspect it had nothing to do with the spade at all, unless Zarkov had specially treated it, and I missed that bit.
Are you not respecting Zarkov's science? I'm very upset about that.
It is exploding spade science.
Yes, exactly. What it had to do with that hovering ball, we'll never know.
Maybe it's a shovel.
So,
space shovels!
Space shovels! So, yes, if you've tuned in unaware of our silliness, you might not know that this is how we usually are. And this is Chapter 8 of Space Soldiers, a Flash Gordon commentary podcast, and we are at Chapter 8, which is Tournament of Death.
So we've just passed the halfway point
of
the first serial.
Well observed. So we...
I failed to mention that during Episode 7. This is the halfway point. So.
Okay. So, as ever, I will count you in from 5, and then you can watch along with us at home and listen in to our searing commentary as you watch the action.
As we ignore the action as it's going on.
Yes, as we talk over what everyone says every week. In a stylish way. So, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, play.
Ah, Space Soldiers.
Yeah, that it is.
Crackly and unrestored in my world. I don't know about yours.
I still want to see Flash Gordon written there rather than Space Soldiers like I did when I was a kid. But hey,
we're all out of sync. And I think basically you've got to give people the access to the thing that they might have the chance to actually see. So, you know,
access to the writhing girls.
I'm looking at the writhing girl at bottom right. Actually, I was starting to think there was actual rampant nudity there. But there we go.
Gosh.
So we don't get the little bits of clips of the actual actors anymore, do we?
Oh, yeah, they've gone. I think that's just this edit.
We don't get Flash doing his turn.
No, missing it. Chapter 8, Tournament of Death. And let's just say before these words come up, they come up so fast with that recap. When Dale, at sight of Flash being tortured, betrayed her love for him, Vulton promptly sent Flash back to the atom furnaces and ordered Zarkov to connect a high-voltage wire to his wrist. But Zarkov connected the wire instead to Flash's shovel, hoping to help him escape. That's what happened!
We should have been paying attention.
Really? Is that what happened? I don't believe that. Oh, meanwhile, Emperor Ming has arrived with his air fleet in Fulton's kingdom and is demanding the return of his daughter, the Princess Aura, and his affianced bride, Dale Arden, when Flash acting on Zarkov's
It's always useful to know what's actually going on, isn't it? That's kind of...
Now, did you like that eye zoom in there? There was an eye zoom in. Very nice.
Well, again, this was the various wipes, as they used, were what Lucas nicked for Star Wars.
Exactly,
I'm,
all these
words. I'm just fascinated, though. I like the language they use. We tried to mimic it a bit in one of our trailers, but the language they use in the recaps, I just think is gorgeous, if completely pompous or
affianced. Wonderful. Is that how you say it? Affianced or fiancé?
Affianced.
Affianced. Amazing. I've never ever seen that word before. Good.
So anyway, we're getting a recap of what happened with Ming, so I suspect we should probably pay attention this time.
Yes. He said affianced.
He did. So now we know how to say it as well. You see, we should
bride.
Be paying more attention.
Yes, you should.
Yes, I should.
You.
I'll just leave you to watch it. I'll just throw one about. Oh,
the big doors are open.
There's a pretty flower. Yes, there we go. Oh, they got grim, don't they? The guards coming in.
Yeah.
No, oh, they're threatening the Emperor. So actually, there's a bit of insurrection afoot here.
Gosh.
Basically, this is American politics in the 2020s,
yeah.
Yes, played
exactly.
out in the 1930s.
I think it's more believable there
so
than it was.
So the wire's attached to his spade.
Is it?
I thought it was just so no one nicked his spade.
Yes, exactly, like a stapler in a library. Exactly.
Or a biro in a bank.
Yes, exactly that. Oh, funny.
Whippy Man's having another go. I'm thinking there are friends now. I don't really understand, you know. Because Zarkov's been quite cooperative, isn't he? Over
yes.
in sort of Science HQ.
He has been. Oh, gosh. Oh. Hit them.
Right, so basically now we understand what's happening, this whole fight thing. And he throws
I wouldn't go that far. Whoa, the whole model rock. Oh, that was
so
good.
The whole city's wobbling and rocking now. We've basically destroyed the gravity beams.
Oh, that was a nice shot of them running forwards there. Good work.
Yeah.
That was
suddenly,
really
we're
difficult
suddenly in
to
peril. Proper peril. The whole city is in peril.
I feel like they should be rocking from side to side like they're on the Liberator, and they're
oh,
not.
Oh, yes. Or a bit of Voice to the Bottom of the Sea-ism.
Yeah.
But to be fair, you'd kind of think Ming... Because Ming's like, you know, you'd think his Secret Service guards would have hurled him into his spaceship by now, you know?
Oh, why did Dale stop him then? Why did Dale stop him from... Very weird.
Maybe she's just worried that they would strike him down.
Oh, I see. Have you noticed how many times Flash just turns up in that throne room and gets a weapon immediately and threatens someone? Oh,
that's
a nice
his
dial.
Skill. That's what makes him Flash.
What's that dial? It looks like it also has letters of the Zodiac on it or something.
The Ming Zodiac.
It's a quarter to Pisces.
Well, we need to know now. We need you to do some research into what the months are called on Mongo. You know,
yes.
It's the 24th of Gibbon or something.
It's half past a Orangapoid.
Ah!
Whoa!
We're born
whoa.
Under the sign of the Orangapoid.
Now, you so can't see this at home, but I am rocking at home now.
Well, I think that's the thing. You see it on screen. Your brain goes the same way. So
it does.
You tilt your head.
Yeah, the tilting is catching.
Yeah. And Flash has just run into the floor room again and to rescue Dale, which is kind of weird.
Which he can keep doing, apparently.
Yeah, there's a lot of hanging on, isn't there? A lot of hanging on to props going on. But this is interesting because Ming doesn't look particularly powerful or all-powerful in these scenes. Yeah. He's actually looking a bit like a frightened bunny rabbit, really.
Yeah.
In the headlamps, you know.
Yeah.
And his guards aren't really leaping to his aid. Your torch is finally about to herd. Well, everybody's now running away. I'm kind of thinking, if you're on a city that's going to fall out of the sky,
nice
it doesn't really help where you
Zarkov,
run to.
Did you see Zarkov's action there when he was walking? It was
oh,
so
yes.
Good. Oh, it's another sparky machine.
He's got
machine.
His zippy-zappy machine.
Yeah, that's always useful in these situations.
That do you not think that looks like a cyber planner?
Totally. Oh, look, it's writing itself.
Zarkov, you no longer need atom furnaces because
King of all
this
the science. This year's Nobel Prize to Professor Hans Zarkov.
Yes, he knocked it up in about 20 minutes.
It's a success. There's no denying it.
Indeed. We will be shouting that at the end of our podcast series.
Yes,
it's a success. In our best sciencey ways. I'm working on the beard.
Yeah, whilst wearing shorts.
But, yeah. I'm not a fan of the short trouser. I think I may have mentioned this before. I mean, I quite happily, if I was on a beach, I'd quite happily be in a tweed three-piece suit. I would be fine with that.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm the opposite. In summer, I'm like everything off.
Oh gosh. This is why we only do these in audio. Anyway, yes. On the now stable city of the Hawkmen. Oh, Flashy's having a bit of a change.
That's a smart outfit. Look at that.
This is the kind of medieval chainmail look.
Love it. Want it.
Although he has to get dressed in front of a gentleman. Is this a gentleman's gentleman? So he actually has been allocated a valet.
So I think so.
He's been forgiven then.
Maybe.
Presumably because of...
No, he's only been forgiven because he's got to face the mighty mass swordsman of Mongo. That's why he's got an outfit.
I was forgetting this is the idiocy.
Idiocy.
Idiocy of me is, of course, the actual episode title is a bit of a clue, isn't it? We've got Tournament of Death.
Yeah, that has to happen.
So you need to have the tournament.
Yes. He's getting dressed up effectively to die. Now, that's a brilliant outfit. Look at that.
This is proper Robin Hood stuff.
Well, they go proper Robin Hood in Conquest of the Universe. This is more sort of like King Arthur's court, I think.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking the costumes were amazing when I was a kid and loving them. Obviously, with those legs and those shorts, that has to be Baron. We know it is.
Baron in a mask. Baron in
it has to be Baron. There is no surprise
mask,
here.
Isn't it?
There is no surprise here. I know, there's legs anywhere, says Flash.
Make him fight his bestest buddy, Kendo Nagasaki.
Gosh.
It's not the greatest mask for fighting in, because basically all someone has to do is pull the mask and you...
Slightly to the side.
But not only that, if you just... You can throttle him with it. So we've got a sword fight going on.
It is very swordy. And look at those.
Is it Wrathbone standard, do we think?
Is it required that you have your hand like that behind you? Is that a rule?
It's Mongo rules. Mongo rules. Sword.
It's not Queensbury rules. And Queensbury rules,
we'll
as I call
them. We'll be setting up a tournament when we have our first Flash Gordon convention. Mongo rules sword fighting.
Yes.
There'll be a whole room for that we won't go in.
Yes.
The finest swordsman in all Mongo, who happened to be in their furnace room at the time.
He had a nice laugh then.
You see, I thought, though, that they were such buddies that... Because I thought Baron and him were quite mates by this stage.
But he's got something over Baron. Doesn't Baron want Aura? And therefore you said, well, I'll do it if I can get Aura, probably.
Oh, I get you.
I'm guessing.
I can see the appeal.
Yes. Two of them.
It seems a bit harsh, really. I mean, if you fancy your best mate's wife, you know, you don't sort of run them through with a bloody broadsword, do you?
Oh, I always do. I always.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Right. Okay. Generally.
Your 17 marriages so far. This is how yes. They've all happened.
As a result of Mongo rule sword fighting.
Oh yes. Well, there we go. All becomes clear. We've got some moody shots of Dale. She's definitely looking moody, isn't she?
She is. But she's worried. Now Aura's just turned on.
Moody
you know
reaction
she is.
Shots, yes.
She,
we're getting lots of moody reaction shots.
She watches people fighting while she's doing it. She does.
That's fun. He's tall, isn't he?
Dirty girl. sorry, I got distracted by thoughts, in inverted commas.
Yeah. But at least he's not having a scrap with 15 blokes this week.
This is going on a long time, though, isn't it?
It is, rather. Well, reaction shot, sword fight, sword
I think
fight,
she could have put
fight.
More into it.
Now, all the kids in the cinema in the 30s are going, It's Baron!
It's Baron!
It's Baron! It's Baron! Why don't you, what you worked out, it's Baron yet, doesn't it?
I think
the kids of the 30s were much more savvy in their leather underpants than we.
I don't think the kids were in leather pants. That's a whole other story.
Well,
now
yes.
Then.
Sword drop.
Oh, good work. Go on, run him through.
He's tripped him over, picked up his sword again. Ooh. Ming is looking surprisingly thoughtful. He's not as reactive as you expect. He's not as ranty and shouty.
I don't think he minds as long as he can get it on with Dale. I don't think he minds what happens,
basically.
Really.
He wants his competitor out of the way. Yeah. He hasn't actually asked Dale whether she fancies him or not. I mean, she might just sit there going, not particularly fond of the dresses, not particularly massively keen on the beard or the bald head or, you know, the fact that you're not Flash. So that it has been revealed.
Baron. Who saw that? Who saw that coming? All of us.
And apparently it's a clever trap. Oh, won the right to fight the mighty beast.
I do like the way he delivers, you've won the right to fight the mighty beast of Mongo.
You've got to fight for your right to fight.
To fight the mighty beast
the mighty
of Mongo.
Beast.
So he's won that, and now he's going to fight a Mongo beast.
Brilliant. This is like a Saturday evening tournament programme, isn't it? You know, you feel like this is what they do for... And this, you feel that Simon... Is it Cowell?
Yeah.
Or Callow. I can never remember what he...
Cowell. Simon Callow is the actor.
He's sat there going, darling, you're going to have to do the next round. Next round is the mighty beast.
But this time you must fight the mighty beast of the right party.
Yes. Tune in next week when it's Mighty Beast Week on Fights of Mungo.
Yeah.
Oh, he's forgiven, Baron.
I think he was just pleased he looked good in front of women fighting again, actually. I think Flash was just, that was good for my ego, and I like the outfit. I'm quite happy
Baron's
with...
Baron's doing a lot of self-justification here, isn't he? Is it?
Oh, yeah.
He's finally confessed up that he loves Princess Aura.
I mean, you couldn't love Princess Aura. You could fancy her, but I don't think anyone could love her.
But,
I'm going to say it.
Flash being thoughtful in his glasses and shiny boots is actually sort of sitting there going, well, I don't fancy Aura particularly. That's fine. I don't mind.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, the father-in-law would be a nightmare, but, you know.
Yeah. I do feel like Thun is a bit poorly served in this because we don't really didn't get to see much of him in the furnace situation, and he just felt like another hairy man.
When I watched him in, when I watched this as a kid, though, I was always terribly impressed with Thun. I don't know whether he does more in the series. I just remember he made more impression on me as a, you know, 12-year-old or whatever it was. You know, it's quite interesting. I felt he played a much larger part in the whole thing.
Right.
And I think it's something to do with those spinny top spaceships that they have.
Right.
And I felt, so maybe in the later episodes they really do come to the rescue and what have you.
So we've got lots of Trantaras. The tournament's
this
ready.
This is a big scene. Everybody is now in shot. This is where they did the cast photo. You know?
Yes, exactly. Right, cast photo, everyone. This is the class of 1936.
Let's do the big Mungo selfie.
Yeah, Flash Gordon lying on the floor in front of everyone with a football.
So anyway, so the second tournament of Deeth is about to happen. Oh, he's only got a little dagger now.
Oh no! It's Agador.
Oh, it's a gorilla with a point on its head.
Oh, he's quite cute.
Do you know from your book who played the gorilla man?
I do. Ray Corrigan. And I shall share a story of Ray Corrigan when we next meet. Oh, it's quite a good fight.
Do you think he actually had a bit of expertise in playing gorillas on screen?
He did. He was a regular stunt performer, as they say in the provinces. Okay. Yes.
It's interesting because we don't have the big cage they had in the first episode when he was fighting the three nappy men. But there's actually been quite a lot of fighting in the Tournament of Deeth, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel the Saturday Night Entertainment, you need to cut to some audience reaction shots, really, you know.
That horn's really wobbly, have you noticed?
Maybe the sort of Jerry Springer audience, really. I think they'd be baying for blood, quite frankly. I think it's... in some ways, we haven't come as far as we like to think we have.
I like the way they speed it up to make it more exciting and make it look more real. It's good.
I think, you have to, don't you? You know.
Yeah, it's good.
But it is basically, again, this is just another long fight with reaction shots, you know?
Yeah, which has become the sort of
and
the
silver
style.
Boot because it's space.
Yes, space boots.
I do like the silver boot. The Terry Nation space boot.
Exactly. I think Callie and Jenna have pairs like that. Something fell off. What fell out of his mouth then? Something fell off that he picked up. It was like a handkerchief or something.
Maybe it's part of Flash's costume. Although it stayed unripped because it's chainmail this time.
Yeah. So the Orangopoid's got him. He's going to be gored to death with
I suppose the thing is that nobody leaps to your rescue because they're all basically afeared of Ming. But it's kind of like they're all just standing there watching, which I find weird. Especially when some of them are supposed to be allies. And obviously Aura doesn't want him dead. You kind of think somebody needs to do what they did in episode one and leap. Aura needs to leap in here, really.
With a ray gun.
For God's sake, Dale, do something.
Oh, honestly. There's so many reaction shots here. Well, I bet the director was like, more reaction shots, and they're like, really?
Ming is you know, the evil dictator that he is. You know, they could have assassinated him 57 times over in this.
They could.
Yeah.
We must be getting towards a conclusion now because the screen's brightened.
There we go.
Oh.
We end on Dale's scream and a bit of gorilla wrestling. So that's fun.
So
what did you make of Tournament of Deeth?
Yes, I think I was quite surprised that there was two tournaments in Tournament of Death.
So Tournaments of Diath.
Tournaments of Diath, it should have been called, yes.
Of Diath and Tournament of Diath 2.
Yeah, my favourite element of that was Flash's costume, which I like. I can't see any reason why I would ever be able to wear that anywhere. No. But I do like it.
It has that sort of almost medieval look to it, but that's quite good. And it's interesting, I think, that quite a lot of the production photographs you see of it is that costume, which I'd kind of forgotten he ever even got into. So that was kind of interesting.
So that was Space Soldiers Episode 8, Tournament of Death. We will be back next week, next Saturday, as ever, for Chapter 9, which is called Fighting the Fire Dragon. Yet more mighty beasts of Mongo. We'll see you then.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Join us next time for another exciting episode of Space Soldiers, a Flash Gordon commentary podcast with Andy Priestner and Martin Holmes.
It's basically another Tournament of Diath, really. It's another fighting episode, isn't it, when all said and done?
Should be.
I got my Buck Rogers this week, though.
I saw. Yes. It's exactly the same set as me, so that should mean the same length of time as well.
I know, it's just interesting, because I suspect that you've got your Buck Rogers fans who hate Flash Gordon. I don't know.
I don't know. We'll have to find that out.